Well, hello, everyone. My name is Ryan, and thank you for tuning into High Tech on Life again today. Just real quick, be sure to like and subscribe. Depending on which podcast player you are using, please subscribe, and it'll update automatically when a new episode drops. Which, by the way, is every weekday. Huh. Be sure to check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. All those are at High Tech on Life, H-I Tech on Life. You can also email me, ryan@hightechonlife.com. And if you really want to, you can go to hightechonlife.com and see what we got laid out there. Well, for today's episode, I thought we'd cover a variation on a topic that many social media stars do, and that's an EDC, an everyday carry. Now, it's hard to do that on a podcast, so I thought I would go through my EDT, like everyday tech that I use. Now, I'm going to break it into two different episodes, mainly because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So EDT, everyday tech, what tech do you use on a daily basis? Now, the reason why I'm going to break this up into two different episodes is because I tend to use a lot of tech. And I'm guessing most of you guys do too. Now, because I work in a professional environment and I also work at home, I have many different devices that I use. However, the two different categories that I want to break these down into are the known tech and the unknown tech. The known devices are things that I am physically touching and manipulating throughout the day. They are present and in front of me and part of either data input or data consumption. And the unknown, those are my favorite because these are the devices that I use but have set up once and only need to check them periodically to make sure that they are running properly. Or, you know, they send me a little notification that says, yeah, something's not quite right. Now, I say that's my favorite because they kind of epitomize what I think personal tech should be. You set it up and you leave it alone and it's just there. So in part one today, we're going to start with the known items. And more specifically at the beginning here, we're going to talk about what I carry on me at all times, my tech EDC, so to speak. Now, when I'm about to leave the house, I always check my two front pockets, my right back pocket, and my wrist. Left front pocket, iPhone. Right front pocket, keys, in-ear headphones, in-ear monitors. Right back pocket, wallet. Wrist, Apple Watch. If those things aren't there, the search is on. Those are the essentials to function throughout the day. The only one that I could technically do without is the Apple Watch, but I need everything else. So let's jump into the three tech things that I carry on me all the time. First is my iPhone. I carry an iPhone 6S Plus. I've always had an iPhone. I've always carried one with me, starting from the original first gen up until now. Skipping probably every couple generations, I'll skip before I purchase a new one. So right now, I'm rocking the 6S Plus. Now, I've talked about my iPhone briefly in past episodes, and the question I always get is, why do you still have a 6S Plus? You know, you're kind of in the tech world. Why don't you jump to the next one? Why haven't you upgraded? Well, there's two different reasons. The first one is that there's no headphone jack on the 7, and I use wired in-ears, wired earbuds. Wireless are close, but I haven't taken the plunge yet. So if you want to learn more about that, listen to episode 9, the previous episode, and you can get all sorts of wonderful, wonderful information about that. The second thing is that the iPhone 7 doesn't have a significant enough upgrade for me to make the jump, meaning that it's not worth my money to jump to the next one. There's a spec bump, new camera features, but it's really not quite worth it. So we'll go into that in more detail in a future episode. But the short answer is my phone is still supported for future updates, and there isn't a significant spec bump to spend that much money on a new phone. Cool new features, but not worth it in my opinion. So that's the iPhone. That's my cellular phone. Next up is the Apple Watch. Now, as I said in episode 3, do I need it? Probably not. But it's just so dang convenient. Especially with a large phone like the 6S Plus, the Apple Watch just gives me a quicker way to check on notifications and incoming phone calls. And I can't tell you how nice it is to decline a telemarketer from your watch. And I really don't know why I get so much joy out of it. Maybe because they annoy the crap out of me. But not having to like dig into your pocket to get your phone out or into your backpack or wherever you keep it just to see that it's an unknown number or a number from the other side of the country or someone you just don't know is super aggravating and infuriating. And we all get to deal with that on a daily basis. But just to glance at your wrist and say, "Not today, you scum of the earth," gives me extra feels inside. So, the Apple Watch. It's really a convenience thing. Like I said, I probably don't need it, but I like to have it. Now, let's move on to my earbuds, my in-ears. So, I jump between a couple different pairs. As I've said in the past, I have 3 or 4 different sets that I rotate through. I tend to go for 2 or 3 known brands out there that are more in the professional audio field, the professional audio equipment manufacturers. So right now I'm heavily using the Shure SE450s. But before that, I was using the 250s. I think that's what they are, the 250s, which is the smaller version that's like $100. And those actually sound pretty dang good. And they have a very low profile. I've actually slept with them in before, so they're very comfy. And they have much better, in my opinion, actually, much better bass response than the 450s. The 450s, the SE450s are mostly for audiophiles or they have a very flat frequency response that gives a super true representation of what you're listening to. The SE250s just sound good. Like they have some crispiness on the high and some thud on the bottom end, which I really like. Two other ones that I used to use. So a set that I used to use was the Sennheiser MM100s, which was a Bluetooth headset, which is the only one I've ever owned. And I had it because I used to deliver for FedEx way back in the day. And it was just more convenient for me to have a wireless headset. I listened to a lot of podcasts and talk stations and things like that. So it wasn't really necessarily important to have as much clarity in the audio as when I'm listening to music, since it was mostly talk anyways. So the Sennheisers, and then the last ones that I've been really getting into lately, but they're a little uncomfortable in my ears, are the Ultimate Ear UE900s. Now these ones they're expensive, but I have to explain that they were a gift to me. So Ultimate Ears helped me out, and so they gave me this extra set to use while they were helping me out. So props to them. They are an excellent company if you ever want to get either the UE900s or like a custom mold that's kind of their shtick. They started that whole custom molded in-ear thing. Now let's move on to not my everyday carry. Like let's say the stuff in my backpack that I take to work and a couple things that I use at work. So in my backpack, you will find a computer and a tablet. Well, a computer tablet and a tablet. I have my Microsoft Surface Pro 4, which I use as my main office computer. So it sits next to me if I need to check emails and check up and check the web for things and do just administrative work, that's what the Surface Pro is there for. It can double as kind of a workstation, like a portable workstation. I've used it as that. It's not as reliable as a MacBook Pro, as I think I mentioned that a couple episodes ago, but it's very much for administrative work. And that's all I really need it for. I don't need it very often for the heavy production work stuff. Now, usually paired along with that, in my backpack, I have an iPad mini, I think it's second generation. Yeah, so right when they got the Retina display in it is when I decided to get one. And that one is more for work that I need to do for this podcast. It sat for a while. I didn't really use it for much. I used it for some live audio stuff because most iPads will integrate with audio equipment these days. So I did use it for that, but then I kind of set it aside. I didn't really feel like I needed it much. And then, you know, as I started prepping for the release of this podcast and launching this show, I decided to bring it out of retirement and use it on plane rides when I'm, you know, like on a 10-hour flight. I could get a lot of work done on that thing. And it's much smaller than even my Surface Pro 4. So it just sits on the tray table. I can do all my typing, get some work done. And even though it's a second gen iPad mini, it holds up pretty well. I think it's at the end of its support phase. Like, it's probably at the end of its lifespan as far as support from Apple. I don't think it'll be supported for iOS 11. I might be wrong about that, but I think they're going to stick with like the mini 4 for that release, which sucks because iOS 11 looks pretty dang good. A lot of cool new stuff that I wish and hope, still hoping, that my iPad will get. So paired along with my Surface Pro 4, I like to have the MX Master from Logitech. If you haven't tried that mouse, just go to Best Buy and put your hand on one and see how it feels. Even buy it, try it out. See if you like it, and then you could take it back. They just came out with a new version, which means you could probably find the old version for cheaper on like Amazon and places like that. So look around, because the older one, the first gen MX Master, was amazing. It's always worked solid for me, never had any issues with it. And I hear the new one is even better, which I am excited for. Once I actually can save up 75, 80, 100 bucks, whatever it is, I probably will get one. Now, on my workstation at work, because it's a production workstation, all the specs of the computers are, you know, they're Mac Pros, you know, the normal stuff that a production facility would have. But when I first got there, they still had a wired keyboard that was laid out with these little labels that gave you shortcut keys and all this. And I decided I want to get rid of that because I have a mixing console in front of me and the keyboard just gets in the way sometimes. So I really wanted a wireless option. Now, if you're looking for this, you really have to look into the Logitech stuff, because the Logitech stuff, I think they've really thought about the needs of pretty much everybody, especially professionals, because their products just work together so well. I've had a few little niggles and issues that I've had to get through, but for the most part, they've worked really well. They have this new technology. I think it's like a year old, maybe even less, but it's this unifying connection to one of their little USB dongles. And what that allows you to do is, you know, back in the day, if you bought a wireless keyboard and a wireless mouse that required these unified, or required, you know, the little USB receivers, you had to have one for the mouse and one for the keyboard. Kind of a pain. You're taking up two ports on your computer. There's issues. And the issue that I had was that the way that the studio is set up, the production facility is set up, is that we have KVMs that we use. because we have about 20 different computers that we may need to access at any time. So keyboard and mouse run into a KVM, keyboard, video, mouse, KVM, just so for those of you who don't know. I'm sure most of you do, but just in case, KVM, keyboard, video, mouse. And the way it used to be set up is that the wired keyboard would run into the KVM, the wireless mouse dongle would go into the keyboard. Not an issue. But when I decided to go wireless, I had to figure out some way to get around that. Little did I know that Logitech was one step ahead of me. So I went and I purchased a, let's see, I think it was a K750 keyboard, which is a great keyboard for both Mac and Windows. They make it for both in black and white. And it has, it's a solar powered keyboard. So it has, it's like your calculator from when you're in elementary school. You know, it has a little solar panel on it. So you never have to change the batteries. It's wonderful. I wish they had a mouse like that, but I don't, obviously they can't do that. So I got this keyboard, and then the mouse I chose was the MX Anywhere mouse. Now, if you like the feel of the MX Master, you're going to love the feel of the MX Anywhere. The MX Master is ergonomically accurate to cup your hand in the most comfortable way possible. The MX Anywhere doesn't quite do it the same. It's about the size as a regular mouse, but there's just something about it, especially on my hand. It's very, very comfortable and feels very solid. And I think because of this new unifying technology that they have, this unifying receiver, it just works so well. Now, the unifying receiver, what it allows you to do is it allows you to have two different devices, keyboard, mouse, and then connect to one receiver. And you set it up on a computer, and then you can take that keyboard and mouse with the unifying receiver and go anywhere. You can take it to any workstation, and it'll connect right to it. So you're only taking up one USB spot. You don't have to worry about two or, you know, getting a USB hub or anything like that. It just works. The only issue I have ever had with it, and it might be something with the KVM setup that we have, is sometimes the mouse will drop. I have to go and unplug the receiver, the unifying receiver, and then plug back in. That's all I have to do. The keyboard's still working just fine. There is one other thing, actually, with that. Out in the field, I have had the keyboard. It's like opposite. When I'm in my studio, the mouse will drop every so often. When I'm out in the field, the keyboard will drop. And what I found is that, depending where you're at, the keyboard and mouse have to be fairly close to the computer that you're working on, which makes sense because most of the time your computer is either right next to your desk or it's an all-in-one machine right on your desk. But sometimes, like I said, in these production facilities, the computer is over in some other room. Like, I'm probably 30 feet away from it, but then I have a KVM receiver in my room and I plug the unifying receiver into that and it tends to work just fine, except for a couple little things. It's not bad. You know, it's not a deal breaker. It happens every so often. You deal with it. It's worth this setup. It's worth the increased workflow. Like, I tend to work faster because of these tools. Now that we've got the professional workstation out of the way, let's go back home and talk about what I'm using right now. The tech that I'm using currently as I record this podcast. Back in 2012, there was an incident. A very sad incident that I still haven't gotten over. I had my MacBook Pro. Wonderful machine. Bought it in 2007. Been through the ringer. I used to take it on a tour with me. Dropped it a ton of times. Busted two different cases I had on it. And it was a champ. Probably one of the best computers I have ever had. And I was sitting on my couch. We have one of those couches where the footrest comes up, you know. We're talking, you know, 5 years here on a laptop, and I kind of toyed around with maybe getting a new one. But wasn't too serious about it because it was working just fine. It had all the I/O I needed, and then some. And it just didn't make sense to upgrade yet. But then, one fateful night, I was sitting on my couch, and I rested my MacBook Pro on the footrest of the couch. When I got up to get something to drink, I can still remember, it's like in slow motion. I must have hit something on that footrest, and the footrest went down, and so did the MacBook Pro. And it hit the screen, and it killed the screen. No longer could I see what I was doing. No longer was it clear to me. In place of what was normally Pro Tools or something like that, was a massive crack and all sorts of distortion around that crack. It had come to an end. I finally had to say goodbye to my MacBook Pro. Well, at that time, I was moving out of sales, which, you know, it is what it is, into more production stuff. So I thought, I will take the leap. I will get a new MacBook Pro. And at that point, in 2012, they had recently, within a year of my purchase, they had come out with the previous generation, you know, the one with the Thunderbolt ports, SD card reader, and no more Ethernet, all solid state, everything RAM soldered to the motherboard. So it was like the next gen MacBook Pro, the greatest, the latest and greatest. So I bought one. That was in 2012. It's 2017 now. So on the twos and the sevens is apparently when I buy new machines. Oh, so that means I should get one this year, huh? Well, I'll have to look into that. But anyways, this same MacBook Pro that I bought 5 years ago is currently recording this podcast. It's still running great. I use it every day. I use it remotely from work sometimes too. I use Splashtop for those of you wondering. And it works great. It handles everything flawlessly. I have no issues. And the microphone I'm using is just a dynamic microphone, a Shure dynamic microphone. It's a Beta 56A. For those of you in the know, that's an instrument mic, isn't it? Well, yeah. But I record this in a room that isn't necessarily the quietest. So if I use a condenser mic, it's going to pick up everything. So I'm using a dynamic. It sounds good enough. I will probably upgrade in the future, probably in the next 6 months or so, hopefully. And then for an interface, I've been using a lot of Presonus audio equipment. Anything over FireWire that works really well. But recently I picked up just a small little Focusrite interface. It's called the Scarlett Solo. All I need is one microphone input, so that's what it gives me over USB 2.0. And it sounds good. You know, Focusrite always makes good stuff. So that is what you were hearing me on. And that, along with a wireless Apple keyboard and trackpad, is what I use at home. And that's it. That's every known tech thing that I use throughout the day. There's a lot of it. I interact with many, many things. It's just part of my life, and I enjoy it quite a bit. So tomorrow we will go into the unknown things, the things behind the curtain, the things that are there all the time, but you don't really think about every single day until something goes wrong. And they go, danger, danger, please help me. I've got something wrong. Please diagnose me. Thank you. So be sure to check tomorrow for when part two of this episode drops, and I'll let you know all about that and the different things that I don't really interact with on a daily basis, but is always there. Just a reminder to everyone that we are on all the social media outlets. So if you go to Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, even Tumblr, I think we're on Tumblr, you can search for us at High Tech on Life, H-I Tech on Life. And you can email me, Ryan at hightechonlife.com. Same with that web address. You can go there and check out the most recent episodes. Comment there if you want. Comment on anywhere you possibly can. Be sure to subscribe on your podcast player of choice. We're on a lot of them now. We're on the iTunes Store. We're on Google Play. We're on SoundCloud. That's where we host everything. Stitcher, TuneIn. There's a bunch of them out there. So It should be really easy to find us, whichever podcast service you are using. Subscribe, pass it on to your friends, share an episode. If you like the episode, share it, because it really helps us, and we want to build our fan base and find like-minded people to talk with and interact with me, because I'd sit here and I talk, but it'd be so much better if I had people to talk to. So message me on any of the social media sites, comment on the SoundCloud file. You can actually comment at certain times within the podcast, which is really cool because I know what you're thinking about at that specific time. And maybe we can address those in a later episode. Also, if there's anything you want to hear or anything you want my opinion on, why would anybody really want that? Let me know, because I'm free opinions all day, you know? I can give those out all day. So again, thank you for tuning in. Check in tomorrow for part 2 of Tech I Use Each and Every Day, and I will talk to you in the next one.